The Blazers have played two preseason games. They are 0-2. Shaedon Sharpe is a bust, and Anthony Simons must go. Of course, I'm joking. Nothing like overreacting to two preseason games. But anyway, I am Aaron Fentress. I cover the Blazers for the Oregonian and Oregon Live. This is the Blazer Focus Podcast. I'm joined by my co-host, Craig Birnbach, of course. And we are brought to you by Zoom Care, which I will be going to later today to get a flu shot, by the way. How convenient is that? My wife went on the schedule and found all these open, gave me the time of 3:25 so I can go get my booster, or excuse me, my flu shot, and then drive to my son's game, and then to the Blazers game tonight against a team from Israel. But before we get to all of that, we are going to talk a lot of today about a lot of different things. But did you have something you want to call me out on there, Craig, or was it?
Yeah, I got to call you out.
You got to call me out? Because already?
Yeah, because Fentress, it gets pathetic sometimes with the Anthony Simons thing. I'm just going to read an Aaron Fentress tweet for the people who maybe missed it. and just let people, you know, kind of digest how ridiculously in love you are with Anthony Simons.
What are you trying to say?
Anthony Simons is here. This is what you said. Anthony Simons isn't shooting well so far this preseason. 6 of 25, but in 53 minutes, he's committed just one of the team's 33 turnovers. Come on now. Come on. He's been really bad in the preseason. He has only one turnover. He's got 3 assists. That's not a great ratio. That's not awesome. That's basically saying he doesn't have any turnovers because he's not passing the ball. He's supposed to be a lead guard half the time he's out there, Fentress. 3 assists in 2 games. If you started at center,
he's not a lead guard, Dame.
You might have gotten one.
Okay. First of all, I've been told that I missed my calling and should have gotten to politics or politics PR because I can spin, baby, like a 1970s DJ. But the bottom line is I was just pointing out that he wasn't shooting well, but at least he wasn't turning over the ball. And 2 guards turn over the ball a lot. And he's not the lead guard. Dame is. He's playing mostly 2 some point. But the fact is he only has 1 turnover. That's good. We all know he can shoot. But the fact that he's taking care of the ball is a good sign of something. We all know he can kick and shoot.
If you never pass and all you do is shoot, you can't turn over the ball.
Okay.
You can't turn over the ball.
Right. He never
3
passed.
Assists. I love Anthony Simons. You know, let me.
Hey,
I
want to say what that's I a 3-1 ratio. Before. That's a 3-1 ratio, though. So that's good.
Yeah, kind of. Yes, I guess if you want to go that route.
That's Hall of Fame, baby. Hall of Fame. Go check Magic's numbers. That's Hall of Fame.
I just want to reiterate what I always say to Fentress. I am never coming after Simons. I am always coming after Fentress. Never the player, just the man, Fentress.
I will take the bullets. That's what I'm going to say. I will take the bullets.
But let's move on to the let's move on to the actual games that we saw. You saw both. I saw one, and watched the other one on ESPN's game tracker. So not as good. And read your stuff and listened to some stuff. But there's one positive thing. Lead with that.
Well, yeah, Damian Lillard's off to a really strong start, and not that I guess many people believed he wouldn't, because I think most people bought into the fact that he was hurt last year. But he started out 1 for 6 in the first game, then made 4 of his last 7. In this last game, I can't remember what he was, 6 for 11, 6 for 10, something like that, for 21 points. And so far you're seeing signs of MVP candidate caliber Lillard. And to me, that's the best sign of all. He's 3 for 6 on threes the other day, 6 for 10, for 21 points. To me, that's the number one thing with this team. If Dame is back to being an MVP candidate caliber player, I think everything else is going to fall apart because every team has to be like, oh no, we have to worry about this dude. And that opens up the world for Anthony, for Grant, for whoever starts at small forward, for Nurkic. So very encouraging signs, and no doubt.
All I know is he looked good, right? He looked healthy. He looked fast. His shot had more, he had more rise on his shot. I would say he shot great. You know, in game 2, 24 minutes, 6 for 10, 3 for 6.
Right.
Of course, he made all his free throws. He had 5 boards, 6 assists, which is a lot more than the 1 that Simons had. Excellent. The only thing, you know, we don't care about plus minus that much, but that would have been a negative that people would have brought out in a regular season game. But who cares? None of the stats matter. All that matters is that he looked healthy and you could tell the difference. And yes, here's what they won't do. They won't stink as a team if Damian Lillard is healthy. That's it. Bottom line, they stunk without him. They won't stink with him. They'll be a competitive team with this roster. Whatever four parts you put around Damian Lillard, he will, you know, as long as they're not complete garbage, which they won't be, this team will be competitive throughout the season compared to last year. So that was the number one thing on all our list. What matters during preseason? Number one, does Damian Lillard look healthy? Yes, he does. Win, win, win. You know, winner, winner, chicken dinner, as my son would say. You know, that's it. That's it. That's all. That's the number one thing people should be talking about when it comes to the Blazers and these first two games. But of course, this podcast isn't going to be 8 minutes. So now we got to talk about the other stuff. And it is not, you know, that the other stuff's not as joyful. And we'll start with the number two thing that we were excited about, where I said I wanted Shaedon Sharpe to come in and look like he was taking over the world and needed to start. And he looked like a guy that had not played basketball at this level ever in his life. And, you know, he's not been good. But this is where you do have to do that thing that I have none of, and that's patience. And hope that game three will be better and game four and whatever, and that in practice he'll be improving. Because what we saw was a very athletic 19-year-old who has no clue where to be on either side of the court yet. Is that fair?
Yeah, Chauncey said that he looks like a rookie. You know, his head's spinning at times and he looks lost. And I talked to him in the locker room after the first game, and he's like, you know, I was out on the court. I was in an NBA game. I saw Kawhi Leonard. I saw Paul George and John Wall. I grew up, you know, watching these guys on TV. And he stopped short from saying he was completely like starstruck, but he said he was definitely awestruck at just 18,000 people. And like, it was like, whoa, Paul George is guarding me. Like, what the heck just happened? You know, a year ago, I was playing in the whatever that Nike League is or AAU ball. So yeah, I mean, he went through some of that in the second game, a little bit better. So 7 points through two games, 2 of 11 shooting, 0 for 4 on threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. One was spectacular, the one against the Clippers, and 1 turnover in 31 minutes, but only 1 turnover going back to Ant. But I think,
of course it is.
But here's the thing I'm gonna give him a break on. One, when he's been in, they haven't like been running plays for him necessarily. They're just running their offense, and he hasn't been a ball hog. Like, he's not give me the ball and trying to go one on three and do something spectacular. He's just been almost playing like he's supposed to be a role player, which might be shocking for some, because like, he's a seventh pick. I want to see flashes of Kobe. I want to see flashes of LeBron. I want to see flashes of these guys who were top 10 picks coming out of, you know, 1 year, one and done kind of guys. But I think, you know, we're recording this on a Thursday. Tonight they're going to play the team from Israel. I think he's going to start. I think he's going to play probably 25, 30 minutes. And I think he's probably going to make some spectacular plays tonight. But the bottom line is, I think it's obvious he needs time. Like, people just have to just not have expectations. He didn't get in the first game until 8 minutes to go, or 8-something to go in the second quarter. Keon Johnson was the first man off the bench. So right now, Keon Johnson is ahead of Sharp, on top of Peyton, Hart, Anthony, and Nasir Little, and Justice Winslow, as a combination of the two and the three positions. So with Keon beating him out so far, that makes him the fifth guard and the fifth small forward. So just be patient with him. Let him, you know, grow at his own pace. And we'll see what he's like, you know, by the second half of the season. And, of course, maybe more importantly, what he's like when he's 21, when he's able to buy alcohol.
Yeah. There you go. No, I have no patience. I disagree with everything you've said based on my lack of patience. But, of course, it's the truth. It's right. The truth. And it just – you just want guys – you pick them in the top 10. You hear the talk about this is the guy that could be a franchise player that might have dropped out of the top 5, and you needed to just needed to happen. You know what I mean? You, as a Blazers fan, you want this franchise to be championship contender. Right now, the only way that happens in my mind is if Simons ends up being Michael Jordan – which, of course, he will be based on Aaron Ventress's predictions.
Way better than Michael Jordan.
Or Sharp ends up being an all-star faster than we think. So, but I agree. And he missed all. I mean, he missed summer league too. You know,
yeah,
he just hasn't gotten to play. I mean, he has. And sometimes this stuff, the speed of the game, like tonight, it'll be different. They're playing Maccabi. It'll be different because, you know, it's a top Israeli team. They're fine professionals, but they're not NBA players, you know, so it will be a little bit interesting to see how he performs against them. And it'll mean absolutely nothing at all, other than we'll hopefully get to see some of his athleticism and maybe he can calm down. Yeah. Maybe he can just, you know, chill a little bit, but yeah, early on it's the only thing disappointing is there are some players, the moment they touch the court, they were electric, but very few of them are 19. You know, the LeBrons of the world doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen that way.
Right.
He was younger. Obviously Kobe was younger, but it's hard to go without playing basketball competitively at all for 2 years and then step on an NBA court and be like, oh crap, Paul George is guarding me. He's good. He's good at basketball. Right. Like my first step didn't get by him. He knew I was going to go that way. And then also where do you fall? When do I pass? When do I shoot? When do I dribble? But all signs are his teammates are just have tons of praise for not just his play, but how he's handling himself, mm-hmm. which that's huge, right? He's not cocky. He's not coming in and trying to act like he should play 40 minutes a game. So many things from what I read and what you've told me mirror Simons.
Right.
When he came on as a young kid and we saw less of him than we're going to see of Sharp right now, but everyone was saying all the right things. And now here he is, he's not getting his opportunity until he's 23 to be a full-time, you know, NBA, you know, starter with opportunity. So I'll try to be patient.
One of the things I noticed at training camp and even the day of the first game was that while people were praising his ability, they were stopping short of saying he was going to have a great impact. But I did ask Dame, I asked Dame before the first game if he was excited about seeing Sharp. And the answer he gave me was kind of like, you know, I'm more worried about his development or concerned about that than about what he's going to see because we've seen him in practice. And that told me that, like, okay, he's being a little reserved, like maybe thinking, okay, let's not, you know, overshoot ourselves with this kid right away. But then I asked him who would win in a game of 1-on-1, Shaedon Sharpe now or him at 19. And here's what he had to say.
Who wins in 1-on-1, you at 19 or Shaedon?
Me at 19 versus Shaedon. Mm-hmm. Shaedon. He would have had a hard time because we probably would have got into a fight. When I was 19, I was a different individual. I was, you know, just different. So
okay.
He's way more talented than I was, and bigger, and you know, probably stronger. But you know, that fight when I was 19, I was willing to do whatever about it. So ain't no telling.
So I thought first of all that was hilarious. One, that Dame's revealing that 19-year-old Dame, if he's losing in 1-on-1, he's going to get physical. There might be a fight. But on one hand, you say, okay, he's saying that this guy was way ahead of him at the same age, which I'm not shocked by because Dame going to Weber State wasn't even recruited by a major school. He was smaller, like he mentioned. Sharp's way bigger, 6'6" compared to 6'1" or whatever Lillard was at the time. Way stronger, probably, like he said, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not surprised he admitted that, but you know, both stars don't want to admit they can never lose to anybody. So the fact that he's like looking at this kid going, oh yeah, that kid's way ahead of where I was, I think it's pretty telling about the talent level Sharp has.
Yeah. A, it's funny. B, obviously he better be a lot better than Damian Lillard was when he was a sophomore in college, because no one was talking about Damian Lillard being a first round draft pick even at that point.
Right.
And even, you know, it took him 4 years to come into his own and become a lottery pick. So yes, thank goodness. I will also say this about Dame. You know, I covered him for a very long time. He doesn't badmouth anybody, really. He definitely doesn't badmouth teammates. So I take everything but he doesn't go out of his way to praise.
He wouldn't say someone's going to beat him, though, unless he meant it.
No, I'm just saying that's the one thing you can guarantee about Damian Lillard. He was going to find a way to come up with something positive for his teammate. Always has, even when he had guys like, I mean, he found positivity for Myers Leonard for, you know, like 8 years. You know, like he would not say anything negative. But yes, obviously, we know this guy's got – I wasn't surprised by any of that. He was 7th overall pick for a reason at 19 years old. So, yeah, we'll just have – you know, like I said, the hell with patience, but sometimes you're forced to not, you know, have to wait because you don't get to coach. Like, they don't let me put him in.
Oh, people are funny. I went on radio with Chad doing and Dwight last week, and they were just adamant, you got to play the guy, you got to develop him, you got to. And all I kept saying was, you play him the minutes he earns. If he earns 15, you play him 15. If he earns 25, you play him 25. Like, I don't even think it's even a debate.
You're not a garbage team.
Yeah, you're not
a garbage team.
Exactly. You're a team trying to
win basketball games.
100%.
Absolutely. It's not like they don't play at all. Like, obviously, during the NBA season, practice is tough. But look, he gets to play basketball for a living every day with coaches, with other players. So, when I say all this, I'm
tongue-in-cheek. No, I know.
Obviously, you don't play him until he's ready.
Right.
And playing him just to play him when you have a 30, you know, you have a Damian Lillard who's pretty much told you, you know, you better put a team around me that I can see trying to win.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you better do it or else you're going to have to deal with Damian Lillard. He doesn't want to play with a kid that's not ready. I mean, what? Like a lot of minutes just because you think that's best for what happens in 5 years. Damian Lillard, he's not thinking about 5 years from now. He's thinking about, you know, next year, this team better be ready.
Exactly. And the other thing too, is people will talk about, they don't practice much during the season. They don't, but they do a ton of developmental things at shoot arounds and before games. Yes. And if you go there early enough before games, if you can get in, you'll see a coach working with a young player. And it could be, okay, you need to work on, you know, coming around this screen for a three, but then when it's not there, cutting back door. And maybe they don't execute well. So they're working on that. So then when they call the play for them, they become better at it. So those things during the course of the season lead to development as well. So just give this guy time. All right, moving on to a guy who doesn't need any more time, and a guy I'm extremely high on.
Better not.
Been high on for a while. And so far through two games, Jeremy Grant has been the real deal. 50 minutes, 27 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 5 of 7 on threes, 8 rebounds, 4 block shots. He did have 5 turnovers Monday night. And I guess according to Dame, Dame said he kept apologizing, man, this isn't like me, this isn't like me. And Dame was thinking to himself, dude, I don't care about your turnovers. I'm just glad you are here. You just changed the dynamic of our team because of your athleticism and your overall skill set. What have you thought of Grant so far?
Yeah. I mean, not much, you know, surprise, right? This is what he does. So I would have been surprised if I didn't get to see the turnovers, but the second game against the Jazz, he looked like the next to Dame. He looked like the second best player on the court. You know why? he's probably the second best player on the court. Like, and that stop. Simon did not look like the second best player on the court.
Okay. I can see. Go ahead.
He didn't look good. I can see. Yeah, I'm just saying Grant looked the way you want him to be, and yeah, I just love the fact that he just knows what to do. Like he's a true forward.
Yeah,
you know, he's a real forward that can guard and knows where to be at the right time, knows when to go for the block, when to get in front of somebody, knows where to be to get to receive the three. You know, the shot where he can shoot the three. It's why we said they should go get him for 2 years because he's good and he's going to fit in perfectly with Dame and he'll fit in perfectly with your guy once this rolls a bit. I mean, look, I just, if Grant is not Grant, this team's in a lot of trouble, right? Like, but why wouldn't he be? He's not, why wouldn't he be? I mean, you're not taking a young guy and trying to make him something he's not, and you're not taking an old guy and trying to make him something he was before. He is this is it. He's a player in his prime that should start in the NBA and falls right below that all-star level, right? That's
exactly.
Who he is.
Exactly. There was a stretch Monday night where he, in the first quarter, where he hit a three, then he spun inside for a dunk. Then on the other end, he blocked a shot by Norman Powell going to the basket, coming from the weak side over and just swatted it off the backboard, grabbed it, took off down the court, and then from about mid court threw a nice dime bounce pass in the Nasir for a dunk. And it was like everything this guy could do was just on display in that few minute stretch. And the other thing, the locker rooms were open this season, which is just awesome. Like we can go in the locker rooms now. So I was able to go in the locker room after the game Tuesday and get some one-on-one time with Grant. And one of the things I talked to him about, something I've been saying for like 6 months, is that his shooting percentages in Denver, not very good when he was the guy and drawing a lot of attention, But now playing with Dame and Ant, he's just getting, and Nurk, he's just getting wide open looks like he got in Denver when he played with Jokic and Murray, and like he got with the Thunder when he played with Paul George and Westbrook, and his shooting percentages were so much better in those situations. And right now, there are numerous times when he is absolutely wide open and for a three or whatever, and he just drains it. He just has a pure three-point shot. I think his three-point percentages are going to go from, I think it's like 35 Detroit. I think he gets back to, up to around 39-40, which is what he was in Denver. And if he's giving you that, which at times Covington did, but if he's giving you that along with the perimeter defense, which he can give you at the power forward or small forward, and his ability to go to the basket and finish, something Covington couldn't, watch out. It's going to be pretty spectacular to watch.
Here's what I want us both to do.
Okay.
Stop making any comparisons to Covington. Just stop. Because if we're making any comparisons, then the Blazers did a horrible job.
Well,
Covington was never going to be more than a role player, do what he does. Grant's a borderline, you know, is just below all-star. It's a whole different...
Well, that's my point.
I'm just saying, like, people just know he's way, way better.
Yeah.
And it's going to change the dynamic of the team.
Right.
And any, you know, comparison to Covington is, to me, it's like every time you say that, like, he better be better than Covington at everything because he's.
Well, three point shooting was a wash and defensive intelligence a wash. But Grant is such a. The only reason I say this is because when the trades were made and people were like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Why do we give away? Well, because there was other moves in play. And one of the crybaby nonsense was, I can't believe we only got Keon Johnson and Justice Winslow for Powell and Covington. And then those two played well for the Clippers. And so my point is just saying there was a bigger plan in place. And this is an example of it and how much better he's going to be. Anyway, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, we don't have to relive that. But and we're going to talk about the other – you know, the small forward position, which it changes whether it's small. Like, it's basically, we should say, what other forward's going to start, right? Because it depends on, there is a way that, you know, Grant is your small forward. And that's if Justice Winslow starts and it's over. Justice Winslow is going to be your starting forward based on what I've seen. It's a no-brainer.
What?
He played.
What?
I'm just saying, if you look at the numbers of the production in game two, which is the one I saw, it was not, no doubt, the guy was awesome in 19 minutes.
He looked great.
He made four. He made four of five, four rebounds, four assists, blocked the shot, one turnover, three fouls. Like, you even want that, you know? Like, it was a near perfect performance for Winslow in that regard, and everyone else was kind of. It was kind of terrible.
Hart was really good in the first game.
Hart was not terrible. Hart was
in his first
Hart
game.
Was
especially,
what
he has good.
Yeah. Hart did what Hart does. Right. He got seven rebounds in 21 minutes. He made the one shot. Did turn it over. But I'm just, you know, obviously I'm saying this tongue in cheek. But Winslow looked great. And Nasir looks like he did in the beginning of last year. Just trying to, can't find his place. A lot of energy, but not. You know, not producing, you know, 1-for-6 shooting, 0-for-3 from three, all the things that he can't do if he wants to be the starting small forward for the Blazers. And you just kind of have to write it off and know that the decision won't be made strictly based on the preseason games. And but, you know, Winslow looked really good in his minutes.
Absolutely. And, you know, you made the point. If Winslow starts, he and Grant are more interchangeable. Where Winslow can play the four, Grant can play some three, which he likes to do. And, you know, a lot of it's positionless nonsense anyway. But if we're just going to label people, that's, you know, that's something you get out of that if you start.
That's
Winslow.
What we do,
right? And then also you conceivably have a more versatility coming off the bench in terms of Hart can come in at the 1, 2, or 3. Nasir can come in at the 3 or the 4. You still got Payton who can play the 2 or the 3. And you know, I still think that if Winslow starts, I think Hart and or Nasir play as many minutes. Like, just because he starts doesn't mean he's going to finish. It's going to depend on the game, who's got it rolling, the matchups, et cetera, et cetera. They do have versatility there, but I think Winslow, because I came into this thinking Nasir, Hart, Winslow. I think Winslow has shown that it very easily could be Winslow, Hart, Nasir. Now, to be fair, Hart started the first game. I asked Chauncey, is this telling? He said, no, I'm going to start all three of them. So Winslow started the second game. I doubt Nasir starts Thursday night. I think they save his start for Sacramento on Sunday. And then, you know, then you have three starts from all three and you have their other body of work as well. But yeah, I think it's a wide open competition. But after two games, yeah, I have to go Winslow and Hart are 1-2, and we'll sort of see how it pans out. At the end of the day, I just don't know if it matters. Like, I think that guy just has to be someone.
As I said,
yeah, they're gonna mix and match, and it's gonna, you know, it could change during the season. It just, you know, I love players who are smart and don't make bad plays. And that's, Winslow's not looking to jack up shots or go 1-on-1 and play hero ball. He's looking just to do the dirty work, and that's what they need at that spot.
Yeah, I thought no chance Winslow was gonna start, and now what I saw with that lineup, which, if it looked like, you know, when you start Winslow, Grant, Nurkic, Lillard, and Simons, my brain in the beginning was like, oh, I get it, right? I mean, because then Grant and Winslow, like you said, interchangeably on defense. Winslow's a really good passer. I mean, he had 4 assists, right? And he turned the ball over once. He doesn't need, in that group, he'll never have to take a 3. You know what I mean? It's just not the way it is, because Nurkic wants to step out and take the 3 sometimes. Grant, Lillard, and Simons are 3s. You don't need all. It's nice to have all 5 guys. And it's not like Winslow's arms are, you know, can't go over his head to shoot it. Well, it is not a pretty shot. But you know what I'm saying? Like, so maybe they can't. But I'm just saying, I see it now where I get why that might be a productive thing. Knowing that we've seen things in the NBA where guys will start and they always play to the 4-minute mark and sub out, right? You know, it's just the way it is. All that matters, as you said, in the end, who gets the most minutes and who gets the most important minutes. And that doesn't have to be decided on day one. You do play, you know, over, you know, 80 plus games in this league. And so Winslow's going to start one of them. I guarantee it. If he's not the one that goes out with an injury for the rest of the season, he's going to start a game at some point. So, he's a professional basketball player. He's an NBA, role player, and he gets it. So I'm cool with him starting, and I'm starting to maybe it will relax. You know, what's best for Nasir, the younger of the three, the one that you don't know yet what you can expect. Maybe you find what's best for him. Is he better when he starts than when he comes off the bench? That's the coach's job, to decide how to get the best out of his players. And if you're going to play 3, you know, you figure out the rotation that works, and then sometimes you go with the hot hand. So I'm not going to overemphasize anything that we see either, because like you said, that's what we're seeing. They're seeing a whole lot more during practice and behind the scenes. So that will be interesting to see. What we do know is that Anthony Simons will start. And, that has to be a little better. But honestly, I'm not talking about the shooting. I'm not talking about any of that. What do you think of that? What have you seen with that chemistry to see in 2 games? You saw more than we do, Dame and Ant. Were there any issues that you saw? Or do you see it working just like it did with CJ?
Well, one of my requirements for this team to contend was Ant filling those shoes that CJ left, and being able to step up in big moments as CJ did. And also, can he play well alongside Damian? Whereas the 2 months where he went off late last season, Dame wasn't around. He was the guy. Now he has to defer to Dame. He has to play more of the 2, and he was really trying to play a lot of the 1. So I asked him after the game Tuesday night, and I was like, because I said, you know, you're kind of struggling. He said, yeah, I'm trying to get my rhythm. You know, it's been kind of weird. And I said, so is it a situation where you're going from being the guy and now you have to play with Dame and just going from being the lead guard to the 2 guard, not just from last season to this season or whatever, but play to play? And he said, yeah, it's an adjustment. He said all those things, like, last year I was running the show and doing whatever I want, and now I got to defer a little bit and get used to playing with him. And I'm just trying to feel out, is what he said. He's trying to feel out when to be a playmaker, when to act like a 2 guard, when to drive, when to shoot, when to kick, when to sort of find his rhythm within a team that's being led by Dame. And then, of course, you got Grant as well. And so he's sifting through that. And that's what preseason is all about. And that, he said, has led to some of his shooting issues, because he's not 100% comfortable when he's taking some of these shots. But he feels like it's not a big deal. That's why they're playing preseason games. That's why they're practicing, and that it'll come.
Yeah, and it better. Like, that's it. It's that simple. Better. They got no plan B, really. You know, like, there's no plan B on this team for if Anthony Simons and Damian Lillard aren't, you know, an outstanding backcourt in the NBA. There's like $700 gazillion invested into that backcourt right now. So they better be. I mean, I see, you know, this seems natural to me. This is what the preseason's about, is seeing, you know, guys get used to stuff. And we know he could play at an elite level, and we'll see if it works. I have very little worry about it, just because it's just Damian's modeled this before, right? With another guy that was very similar in the sense that they were the same position they're playing. Obviously, they're not the same player. Anthony's more athletic, but they both shot a lot of threes. They both needed the ball to score, and they figured it out. So as long as he – it's really not on – you know, to me, the truth is it's not on Dame. It's on Ant.
100%.
You know, that's just the way it is. He's going to have to figure it out, and he will. He will. He's too talented. And if not, Ventress will be on him. Ventress won't let him fail. He won't let him fail, baby. He'll be like the bottom of the driveway going, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go run.
This podcast will become like a sad after-school special. Game isn't good. No, look. The only thing cornier than worrying about someone's, you know, shooting percentage a couple games into the preseason would be worrying about someone's batting average the first week of spring training. Like, it's, we all know the kid can shoot. He shot 40% or better from threes the past two seasons. So the two seasons. So the fact that he's struggling is completely meaningless to me. It was just one of the reasons why I pointed out that he wasn't turning over the ball, because we know the shooting is going to come. Like, we just know it is. It's not even an issue that's going to fix itself. And right now, I would say probably Sunday against Sacramento, he goes 6-for-11 from the field and 3-for-4 from threes, you know, from 3-point range. So I'm not worried about that at all. But it is interesting that, you know, he's got to adjust again, you know, and that sometimes takes a little time, but I think he'll be fine, of course, because he's the next great player in the history of the NBA. Anyway, moving on to your guy. You got a guy now. See, yeah. You have a guy.
I don't have. Yeah.
You have a guy.
I had a moment early on where that Keon Johnson, I loved his energy. Great steal. Took it all away, right? Got the steal, went coast to coast, laid it up and in. And I tweeted, like, I'm on the Keon Johnson bandwagon. Am I alone? And it kind of went a little nuts, you know, on Twitter. Like, people were saying, I was surprised by how much, how many other people were on the Keon bandwagon. The truth of the matter is, he can't shoot, you know, like right now, from what we've seen, like, he can't shoot. And if he can't shoot, can he play? Does he have a role? We know athletically he's there. There's a reason why he was picked in the first round. There's a reason why the Blazers grabbed him. But I guess my question to you is, do you see any chance of him cracking the lineup? If, you know, everyone else, you know, can he be a rotation player on this team?
Well, first of all, there's a Woj bomb that was tweeted. Well, it's not a bomb. A Woj firecracker that came out while we were talking here, that the Blazers have picked up the 2023-24 option on your boy, sorry, Keon Johnson. I'm texting for confirmation.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, picked up the 2023-24 option. Yep.
Yeah. I'm texting someone for confirmation and I texted the wrong thing. Anyway, so that shows that they like the dude, and he was the first guy off the bench Monday night against the Clippers.
Yeah.
The very first guy. And amongst the first couple guys Tuesday night. And I asked Johnson straight up, what does this mean? He's like, hey, we told y'all he'd been playing well. We told you he'd been doing a good job. And as of right now, yeah, he's in the rotation. And yes, he can't shoot very well from deep. He does work on it. And I've seen him in practice where he can hit 5 or 6 in a row, but then he'll miss a few. But he can get to the basket. He's athletic. And the bottom line is, for Chauncey, he's got a dog's mentality defense. And he plays defense.
Exactly.
And so they're going to, if he's earned it, they're going to put him out there. The other thing to remember, though, about him being first off the bench and being early in the rotation as a backup two guard, is that who's out?
Yeah.
Gary Payton. Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I'm
so,
asking.
Right. So Peyton would be that first guy off the bench. So I think Keon has worked his way into a position where he can get some minutes here and there, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, high in the rotation because you've got Simons, Peyton, and Hart who played two guard. And then that puts you Keon and Sharp. That's, you know, there's only so many minutes to go around. So, but
especially when your two lead guards play, you know, close to 40 minutes a night.
Right. But what this says, though, is that people can go back and delete their tweets when they acted like getting Keon in that trade was meaningless. When people are like, we need a first round pick. Well, you got a kid who was taken in the first round.
Got a first
21st.
Round.
Yes. I mean, right. And the Clippers pick would have been worse than that pick. Anyway, yeah, we could trade that pick whatever.
Yeah, we already been through that. He is a first round draft pick.
Right. And he's got some first round.
He can't buy alcohol either. He can't buy alcohol either, right?
Give him some time. So, but let's just say that, let's say that at the very worst, he ends up being a little bit bigger, more athletic version of Peyton. That's not a bad thing to have as a guy who can occasionally hit the three, but is going to go out there and play some high end defense. So good for him for earning that.
And I'll stay on the bandwagon. I'm not trying to jump off. I'm just saying I'm not. I wasn't putting my entire reputation on it like you were.
Oh wow!
I'm not doing that yet.
Wow.
No, but that, you know, I think that I liked what I saw from him energy wise, and I'd like to see him, you know, shoot a little bit. But even if you just play defense the way he showed in the preseason, if he could do that on a consistent basis, that you could stay in the NBA for a long time as a role player if you do that. All right, we haven't done this for a while. I'm excited. We're bringing back the regular stuff. We're going to go back to back with some action. We're going to go with Factor Fentress. And then we got Mr. Thien's going to jump in with a no-look pass. But let's start it off. Factor Fentress. This is when Aaron Fentress takes something out of that disturbed mind of his.
Wow, disturbed.
And shares it with us. And I have to decide, is this a true statement? Or is this just Fentress being Fentress? So it is time. I wish we had a little theme song. It is time for Factor. Yeah, it's hey, we got a sponsor. We got a new logo coming. That's fire. We're piped about. So why not get some intro music? But it is time for Factor Fentress. What do you have for us, sir?
All right. Well, I've been a big proponent of the Blazers getting Jeremy Grant because I didn't think they were going to get a Paul George or a Kawhi. So you go next tier down to Jeremy Grant. Clearly, he looks like a great fit. He's only 28. He's entering his prime. I look at his body of experience. I look at his talent. They're going to assign him to an extension probably whenever they get around to figuring it out. There's no way they're going to let him walk, obviously. But my fact is that Jeremy Grant will – make an all-star team during his time in Portland.
Whoo!
He didn't even know what to do with that, do you? You're like, oh my god.
No, because I think he's a borderline guy, right? Like that's why I've said that he's a guy that has the potential, but he's a guy that's been in the league for 8 years and has not done it, and it is very rare. I mean, Conley took a decade, you know, over a decade to be an all-star. But most guys they're not all-stars for the first time in their ninth year in the league. He is only 28, so it's not like he is in his prime.
He's just entering it.
Except for in the NBA now, the prime is like 23 to 31, right?
Well,
like
but you're just, athletically, you can be, but your intellect's not there. Like John Morant's phenomenal, but John Morant, with 15 more pounds and being smarter,
But John Morant's an all-star already,
right?
And Jeremy Grant wasn't,
right?
And even Damian Lillard was an all-star by his eighth year.
Yeah, what's your point?
So I'm gonna give you credit for the fact that this isn't insane. I'm gonna say fiction. I'm gonna say fiction just because, honestly, I'm gonna go with some of what you said. If Anthony Simons is an all-star and Damian Lillard is an all-star, man, Jeremy Grant's going to have to be fantastic at some point in his career. So unless he does it this year where Anthony's still figuring it out, if things go the way you want them to go, I don't see it. I don't see the Blazers with three All-Stars. I just don't see it with this roster. So I'm going to say fiction based on the fact that fine. I believe that Anthony Simons has a better chance of being an All-Star in the next 5 years or so.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. So I went back.
Basically, if you want all things to be true, you're giving the Blazers three All-Stars at some point on this current roster.
The next 3 years. Yeah, right. Yeah, no.
Right. And that's never happened.
Never?
That's never happened. I don't know about ever. But it hasn't happened in the last decade.
No, it hasn't happened in a while.
What's that?
Weren't Clyde Porter and Buck All-Stars?
I said in the. I don't know if they ever were in the same.
I interrupted you before you said decade. Okay, so here's some examples of what I'm talking about. Chris Middleton, first time he became an All-Star, the year he turned 27. He only averaged 18, 6, and 5. It's not like he put up huge numbers. He was an All-Star. Fred VanVleet, the year he turned 27.
East.
Well, I'm aware.
I'm just saying it's easier.
Can I finish? My point is they became All-Stars later in their career. Fred VanVleet, All-Star. The year he turned 27 to 28. Again, not crazy numbers. Now, as far as the East goes, I don't feel like there's a ton of forwards in the East. Because if you look at the forwards who've been coming out of the East, like I'm looking at the All-Star rosters last year right now, in the East, I see Wiggins and like... Murray is not. Wiggins and Draymond Green were the only two West forwards in the All-Star game. Is that right? Because they've gotten rid of the whole East-West depends thing. On where.
Yeah, it gets complicated. But Kevin,
Durant. Yes, no, Durant hasn't been in the East for 2 years. So there were only two forwards. Now, obviously, that means that not.
But they're not doing positions.
Right, exactly. But I'm just saying that if he shines on a good team and puts up 19. Six and shoots well and plays high in defense is all NBA. He's gonna get a look. I think he's gonna get a look. I just don't see a glut of forwards around the NBA. They're gonna totally keep him out. And Wiggins is someone late in his career. You know, he's been in the league. How many years now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. His eighth year in the league, All Star. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 assists a game. He made the All Star team. So I just feel like Grant. If you look at the body of his experiences. And then you look at where he is now and what he already looks like and how he's going to be fit on this team, how they're going to use him. He's going to get a 4-year extension. That gives him 5 years. In 5 years, he's only going to be 33. Like I think in that window, he is going to be an All-Star.
I don't think it's far-fetched. I just told you why I think it's not going to happen, but I will not be shocked if somehow it does happen because there are strange things that happen with the All-Star games. Like you named a couple guys that, you know, one of them plays on the Warriors now, which is like you're guaranteed to make the All-Star team if you start on that team, it seems. You know what I mean? If you want to look at numbers, Draymond's numbers are never All-Star numbers, right? Like if you just straight up list numbers.
But his Wiggins defense. Weren't either. His defense. And that's right.
No, of course. Yeah. Of course. And Wiggins, too. Wiggins is a heck of a defensive player, and he plays on the Warriors. Yep. Look, I think that if Jeremy Grant was the starting forward on the Warriors, I would say he makes All-Star game because they're allowed to have 4 All-Stars.
Right.
I'm just saying. It's hard. It just... The truth of the matter is, 3 All-Stars from one team is rare.
You got to win.
3 All-Stars from one.
You got to win.
What's that?
You got to be winning.
Right. A lot. You got to win a lot.
Right.
So there we go. All right. Now we're bringing them back, baby. Haven't heard them for a while. Fiend is back with no look pass.
Watch your heads. So who plays more meaningful minutes this season? Shaedon Sharpe or Jabari Walker?
Oh. You want to go first? Man, I'll go first because that is tough. It's no doubt.
I think it's no doubt Sharp because they're gonna get him out on the court first. I think Jabari though might earn more minutes, but be blocked by a lot of guys. Whereas Sharp's gonna be blocked by a lot of guys, but they're gonna try and get him out there. So I'm just gonna go Sharp, but I could totally see Jabari winning that. Did you see? Like he came in against the Clippers and just. Looks smooth, under control. Again, so the Clippers backups, the guys who aren't going to be on the team. But it was just like Summer League. Like, he just looks like he knows what he's doing. A smart, heady player who makes the right plays. But I just don't see him getting a ton of minutes, whereas I think Sharp, they're going to try and get him out there at least a little bit. So I'm going to go Sharp.
Yeah, I think there's an injury. injury path for Walker to get minutes. There just is, because it's there aren't a lot of front court players on the Blazers. You pick a guy seventh overall and you pick a guy in the second round, who are you going to try to get minutes, right? Where are you invested? So there is a, oh, crap, we need him path for Walker. But if everything aligns and things are going smoothly, then I don't see it. And to me, it's they'll try to find a path for Sharp to get minutes. And there's a reason why he was a seventh overall pick, right? It's not like and talent's going to be there. I think. Yeah, I won't be shocked if at the end of the year Walker's getting minutes because they had two injuries to big men and they got no one else to play, and hopefully he's all right. But I also have not seen him play against real NBA talent. So as smooth as he's looked in summer league and as smooth as he's looked in the game I didn't see against the Clippers, what I saw on Tuesday was nothing. And, you know, to me, there's a chance that if injuries happen, they go get a vet to play, not Walker, because I have no idea if he could play with the real NBA players. But that's a good start to the season, Dean. That made us both at least go, huh, yeah. He thought of something, like he was thinking. So we're off to a nice little start in the preseason.
We thought you were just a pretty killing face, it. Dean. We didn't realize you had brain power.
It's a shock to one and all.
I'm just saying, new sponsor, new logo. Fentress comes in hot with his Factor Fentress. That's not completely ridiculous. Dean comes through with a thoughtful no look pass. I mean, come on, his team's coming together as we hit our speed headed into the regular season.
Love it. All right, so the Blazers have Sacramento on Sunday, and then the Warriors on Tuesday, and then they're off until the season opener, the 19th at Sacramento. I will be at that game, but we will be back with another podcast next week, right, to talk about the Sacramento and Golden State game. Anything else you want to add here, Craig, before we sign off?
Good luck at Zoom Care. I'm glad you're getting yourself prepared for the flu season, baby.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty rampant right now, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm healthy.
We'll be traveling. So. All right. Thanks for listening. If you like the pod, which you should, please leave a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend as well. We want to thank Zoom Care as always. And we'll be back. Oh, hit the subscribe button. Can't forget that. And we'll be back next week after the Blazers play Sacramento and Golden State.